welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. I'm excited about this next poem. I learned something completely new. Let's start. We're going to talk about endometriosis, something that is, you know, pretty common for those of us that take care of women. It's characterized by endometrial implants that are found outside the uterine cavity. Endometriosis is a chronic disease and often requires lifelong or certainly adult-long management plans. Perhaps the most important lesson is that despite its prevalence and a fair amount of research, we really don't know how to optimally manage endometriosis, and most of our management is geared toward symptoms. We're going to today focus on diagnosis. It is definitively diagnosed by tissue evaluation from a lesions biopsy during surgery. Usually the surgery is of a laparoscopic nature. It's also no surprise, given that it requires sort of laparoscopy, that a definitive diagnosis of endometriosis is often delayed because the symptoms of endometriosis are vague. Sometimes they overlap with other GYN symptoms or other GI symptoms. And the surgery is not benign. It involves some risk. I mean, certainly less risk than a laparotomy, but it's still... patients aren't going to be jumping for a quick diagnosis. Studies have reported an average diagnostic delay of somewhere around 10 years between the onset of symptoms and a definitive diagnosis. So what doctors often do is, in the absence of a definitive diagnosis that requires tissue, we try to come up with a clinical diagnosis. And sometimes we do that by initiating therapy. We choose therapy that's low risk and is easily tolerated. For example, estrogen, progesterone, contraceptives are often a first choice, a low risk. However, we have to be careful that if they work or if they don't work, that really isn't a diagnostic, definitive diagnosis. We still, if we really want to know what's going on, need some sort of tissue. Of course, if we move on to medications with a higher risk profile, things like danazol, we want to be more careful that we really are treating what we think we're treating, which is endometriosis. So there are several non-surgical ways that experts make the diagnosis. They all involve a combination of examinations and an imaging finding, for example, using ultrasound, visual inspection of the posterior vaginal fornix, perhaps a biopsy of the rectovaginal lesions, if there are any, and some sort of cytologic evaluation and physical exam finding. Even when we got all of this, again, it only approximates and gives us a clinical diagnosis. It is not the definitive diagnosis. You found an article, I think, that's very interesting, published in the British Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. It asks the clinical question, here we go, is serum cancer antigen 125, often abbreviated CA125, an accurate non-invasive test for diagnosing endometriosis in patients who have symptoms? Mark, does this work?
Yeah, funny little story. I was actually at a meeting in Cold Spring Harbor talking to some folks about ovarian cancer screening. And one of the people I was introduced to was William Baxton. They said, "Oh, well, this, you know, so-and-so." And I had to ask, "Well, why are you here?" And, well, he had invented the CA125 test. And I was a little embarrassed that I didn't know that, but certainly everyone else at the meeting did. CA125, we tend to think of it as a test, a screening test for ovarian cancer. It has not been shown to reduce ovarian cancer mortality, unfortunately, but it has been studied for that. So this was a well-done meta-analysis where they found 22 studies looking at the accuracy of this test as a test for endometriosis. And there were 16 cohort studies, 6 case control studies, a total of about 3,600 women. The gold standard for the diagnosis was histological. So in all but 2 of the studies, all of the patients got histology. In a couple of them, only those who had a positive CA125 had histology. So that's a potential flaw. They did look at the results with and without those 2 studies, and it turned out not to make a lot of difference. They looked at pooled sensitivity, specificity, likelihood ratios, And they looked at two different cutoffs, cutoffs that were less than 30 and cutoffs of 30 or higher. So some of the studies might have used 35 or 40 or 30. Those were grouped together. Studies that used 10, 15, 20 were grouped together. And what they found was when they did the quantitative meta-analysis, they found that the sensitivity was only about 52%, but the specificity was quite good at 93%. If you limited it to patients with more advanced endometriosis, more severe disease, the kind you'd be more likely to be concerned about treating, sensitivity was 63%, a little bit better. It was much lower for those with mild disease, around 20%. The specificity data was pretty homogeneous. The studies all were in that 85, 90, 95% range. So I think we can trust that number. There was a wide range for sensitivity from as little as 25% to as high as 90%. So I think there's less confidence around that. So when you look at these numbers, so what do these numbers mean? If you have a 50% likelihood of pretest likelihood of endometriosis, given symptoms, the likelihood ratio of 7, the positive likelihood ratio of 7, means that women with an elevated CA125, at least 30, have 87% of them now have endometriosis. So you go from 50 to 87%. That's pretty useful as a rule in, and you might tentatively start some, you know, empiric therapy for endometriosis at that point with that level of confidence. On the other hand, if you start at 50% pretest and it's negative, the CA125 is normal or under 30, then still a third of those women have endometriosis. So you really can't rule it out on the basis of a normal CA125. And I think the other caveat is that if you do get an elevated CA125, it's really incumbent on you to check an ultrasound to confirm that there isn't a cancer, ovarian cancer there, that's the potential cause of the elevated CA125.
Excellent. It is very interesting. I was not aware. I mean, they did a meta-analysis of 20 studies or so, and I'm embarrassed that I hadn't read any of those 20 studies. So this is very cool. You know, as you say, it's got some limitations. It's, you know, not particularly good at ruling out disease, but quite good at ruling in disease. And this is a keeper. Thanks so much.
All right. Glad you liked it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.